This is number 8 of our discussion with Christy. More talk from me. And today we continue with the idea that King Absolute is explaining to all the kings of all the domains how they can experience the perfect kingdom, the perfect domain, the perfect life, the perfect world, and how easy that is, and how perfect it is, and how it doesn't demand anything except to be one-pointed. Now, King Absolute explains to all these other kings in a seminar that he's conducting in his palace what it means to be absolute, what it means to be a one-pointed creator. Now, every one of these kings was created by King Absolute, and every one of these kingdoms was created by King Absolute. But we, like King Absolute, like to play games. And so King Absolute is playing a game with his creation. And he's creating his creation to think that they have the power and they have the permission to create anything they want in any way that they want it, and going through any circumstances that they want. And these circumstances are perfectly okay. These circumstances will not destroy them, as God said to Job in the chapter on Job from the Bible. As God said to the devil, play any game you want. But Job is true to me. Job is true to his divine self. And he will never deny his divine self. And so, the devil says, well, can I do anything I want? And God said, yes. And so the devil did everything. He tried him with abundance. He tried him with pain. He tried him with death. He took away his family. He took away his friends. He took away his reputation. He took away his wealth. He took away everything that he had. He took away his health. And he covered his body with boils and made him in great pain. And still, Job would never deny his divinity. Now, his friends told Job, seemingly they were quite brilliant, and they told Job, now, Job, if you will deny God, you will have a perfect body. You will have everything back. You will have everything in divine order. And Job says, no, this I cannot do, for this is not my nature. Well, King Absolute is playing with his creation, the kings of these various kingdoms that are surrounding his external kingdom. And he's saying to them that they can do anything they want to do, and they can create anything they want to create, and they can have anything they want to have. And so many of them came to King Absolute with the idea that they were going to create a world in which they were the master, and they were going to run every country, they were going to own every country, they're going to possess it by force. If whatever it takes to do it, they're going to do it. You've heard the statement, whatever it takes, do it. Well, that's not true. Not whatever it takes, do it. Do it right. Do it right and do it once. Do it once and do it right. Keep your mind one-pointed on what you want to do. So, the kings in the seminar said to King Absolute, well, you have the greatest kingdom in the universe. You have the most wealthy kingdom. You have the most complete kingdom. You have every single thing that any one of us could ever ask for. You have the most beautiful subjects in the world who follow you and believe you. No, 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 no. The king stopped the other kings and says, no, no, I do not have the most beautiful subjects in the world. I have the most beautiful people in the world who are independently able to think for themselves and be what they want to be in any possible way, but I create before them the image of what creating themselves in a certain way would be, and so naturally they're inclined toward that positive way. Because I'm always in charge. I'm not creating them trying to overwhelm me. I'm not creating them saying, they want to be king, and they want to take over my throne. I don't create them that way. I create them as being king of their own universe, king of their own world, if you will, king of their own home, of their own farm, of their own job, of their own activity, and I create them perfectly happy in being that. Now, one of the kings says, King Absolute, that sounds like being master of my thought. And King Absolute said, you are very correct. That is being master of your thought. Our thoughts oftentimes want to run away with us because they feel that they have the freedom of the rein to dash off and get out of control. And when we let our thoughts get out of control, then we have to bring them back into line. And bringing them back into line, they say, we're supposed to have the freedom of choice. We're supposed to be able to do what we want to please. We're supposed to be able to go and think and say what we want to say. And King Absolute said, that's right. You're supposed to go and think and do and say what I, as the Absolute in you, think for you to say. Well, that's not freedom of choice. Oh, yes, it is. You had the freedom of choice before you came into my kingdom, to be in my kingdom or not. You didn't have to be in my kingdom. You could have been in any other kingdom. And my kingdom is one of one-pointedness and one of consistency, one of a reflex of everything that's good and beautiful. Everything that comes out of my kingdom is a reflection of who I am. And I am pure, and I am good, and I am beautiful, and I am wonderful, and I am healthy, and I am happy, and I am whole. I am everything that I could ever seek to be, or that I would ever want for any of my creation to be. Yes. Now, how do I do that? How do I be that wonderful, creative being that I am? How do I do that? I do that by being one-pointed at all times on whatever my thoughts are. Now, my thoughts want to run away too, because my thoughts think, oh, I can think this through better than King Absolute can. I can think this through better than anybody else can. I'm fantastic, and I can do that. And true, that's what our thoughts think. So we have to take charge of our thoughts. And we say, thought, you think everything I think you think. Thoughts, you do everything I think you do. Thoughts, you are everything I think you are. Thoughts, you have no life separate from me. Now you see? The other kings were listening to this and they were saying, I mean, we have no other life separate from you? And the King Absolute says, oh, you're getting the message, huh? No. You are my creation, so therefore you are all that I am. But we want to be more. Well, as I find more of myself to be, you will be that too, because I will create that in you. Well, we want to be that without you thinking it. We want to think it through ourselves. Well, if you want to think it through yourself, then you go and live in some other kingdom. You go live in some other universe where they allow for that elementary type of understanding. Elementary type of understanding. What do you mean by that? You mean that we're ignorant, we're stupid, we're not informed? No. I mean that as each level of awareness progresses, people come into new understanding of what the principles are. Now, little children are the finest, the highest, because they think they can do anything and they do it. Then as they get older, they think they can't do it because they've been told by their parents they can't and they shouldn't. That's dangerous and other things that they're not supposed to do. And so they become fearful and don't do it. Now, you see, it's not that they're getting smarter. It's that they're getting more and more limitations. They're growing backwards. Instead of growing into a greater understanding, they're born with this fantastic understanding, with this fantastic awareness of their divinity and their goodness. And each of you, Each of you were created out of my absolute quality, and you were created absolute from the very beginning, and then as you live by yourself in your own universes, and you heard of possibilities and other things going on, you thought, that's interesting, that looks like it might be more fun. It might be more fun to crash up cars instead of to drive them beautifully all the time. Well, that's an interesting point of view, isn't it? Herb, who in their right mind would ever think to crash up cars and drive cars in dangerous ways is a better thing than driving cars in a safe way? Well, thousands and millions of people that do that. People who drive their cars without using good judgment. People who go to races and the demolition derby and all these little silly things, and they drive their cars to crash them up. People who do those things, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I'll ask you a question, simple one. If you are a horseman, if you are an equestrian, and you ride your horse with great skill, and you're going to the jumps, you're leaping over hurdles, you're leaping over fences, you're leaping over hedges of bushes, and you're doing all sorts of wonderful things. You're galloping, and you're trotting, and you're doing all the things a horse is capable of doing. Well, now, what's most exciting? To look at a hedge and say, I hope I can make it? Or to look at a hedge and say, nothing. We will just float over that hedge. Now, what thought goes through your mind? Does a thought go through your mind, oh boy, maybe we can make it, maybe we can make it? And you know you can. You know that the horse is designed to go through 3-4 times the height of that hedge. Jump over the moon if you choose to have it do so. Whatever is in your consciousness. But you like to hedge it by saying the horse maybe or maybe can't do it. Maybe he can leap over it, maybe he can, maybe he'll stumble, maybe he'll fall, maybe he'll trip on top of me and roll over me and kill me, maybe he'll throw me off and do this and do that, maybe, you know. Now, why do we think those thoughts? Those thoughts are going backwards. Because we know we can do it. A child knows it can do anything, and it does it, but its parent comes along and tells it it can't. A horse knows that it can do anything that its rider chooses to have it do. It can cant, it can gallop, it can lope, it can do anything it wants. Now, what is it that the horse is interested in doing? And the horse is interested in just doing one simple thing. And the horse is interested in doing what you want the horse to do. Let's double check that. And the horse will always do whatever the rider wants the horse to do. The car will always do whatever the driver wants it to do. The child's body and life will always be what the child wants it to be. Now you say, well, the child wants this, the child wants that. No, no. The child gets, is, has whatever it wants. What it makes known to you is what you have been telling it it can't have, or what you've been telling it that it might not be able to do. Now, it's not the child that's doing that, it's you. It's you putting limiting thoughts in the child's mind. Now, you, I'm the King Absolute, and I created each one of you in my world to be a replica of myself. Now, I thought it would be kind of charming to see how you would handle being yourself and being me, and how you would handle this growing up stuff. Now, you have been in existence for an infinite number of years, and you have not called on me once. And you've had good countries, you've had good people, you've had a good world in which you lived. But now you're at the age in which you are starting to think, hey, life doesn't have much mystery or much charm or much magic to it. I would like to create life with some magic and charm to it. I would like to create some racetracks, you know, and I would like to create some accidents and some incidents and some problems. We do that. We do that. What's the first thought we'd have in our mind when we hear a loud noise? We think accident. What's the thought we hear in our mind when the telephone rings and we're expecting a call from someone important to us, and then they say, I'm sorry to tell you, and we say, oh my God, what happened? instead of saying that they only won second place. Well, wonderful! You know, they won second place. But, you see, we interpret it to be something even more terrible, that they died, or that they lost completely, or something like that. We right away jump into the foray on words, ideas, thoughts, and things, and we put our limiting ideas on them. Now, I, as King Absolute, have given you permission to think whatever thoughts you want. Now, up to now, you have been thinking beautiful thoughts. You've been thinking wonderful thoughts about yourself, of who you are and what you are. You've been thinking thoughts about how fantastic it is to be in the world that you're in. Now, how fantastic. Now, but little glimmers have come into your thinking of making considerations of, I'm sorry to tell you, you know, or other things that are said to us and that we begin to interpret it some other way. Now, you are in a spelling bee, and you're spelling words. And I come up to you and I say, I'm sorry. And you say, oh my gosh, did I spell it wrong? But you know you didn't. And so you are not expecting them to say that you spelled it wrong. I'm sorry, but you, all the rest of you, are down now, and she's tops. Oh, you're sorry for them, not for me. No, they're down, you're up. But see, no matter how big or how little, I plant these little seeds in you, these little seeds of doubt, these little seeds of concern and worry, so that you can strengthen yourself to never be touched by them, to never be concerned about what other people might say, what other people might do or be or have. Never be concerned. And this is what I, as King Absolute, do with my creation. Now, I could just easily create all of you fabulous, great, beautiful, fulfilled in every way, my exact replica of me without any changes in it, and there's no improvement, nothing more has to be done, and that'd be great. But you, as a unique being, would not have the opportunity to prove to yourself that you could do this under any circumstance. Now, just say, I created you like that. And then, I choose to go off and create other worlds. And so I leave this group of kings, of living on these various kingdoms, and I leave your presence, and I'm gone. I'm invisible to you. Actually, I'm still there. I'm invisible to you, and you think I'm gone. And so then you start facing troubles. So then a great cataclysmal asteroid comes out of space and pow, right down in the middle of one of your kingdoms, and messes up the orbit of your Earth, and messes up your land, and messes up this and that and the other thing. And you say, oh my God, it's so terrible, it's so terrible. And then one of the kings says, hey, come on, let's gather together, all together, all the kings, all of us, gather together, right now. And so all the kings gather together, yeah, in a snip. And they gather together. And then this one king says, all is in divine order. 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 Come on now. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. And all the kings say, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. And they chant that, and they sing that, and they speak that, and they visualize that, and they get their minds in order. And all of a sudden, they are finished with their chant, and they say, well, gee, nice to be together with you. Why did we come here together? They completely forgot the asteroid, and the asteroid was not there. It did not happen. It had no power. If it happened, it was immaterial, and it was not there. It was nothing. It was something that blown out of shape, blown out of picture, because they themselves were not trained in being one-pointed at all times, to see it done perfectly. You follow?
Yes.
And if I lay my hand on you and heal you, and then I'm gone, and you have the same problem again, and then you have to heal yourself, what are you going to do? You're going to die, because you don't know how. And I say, hey, train yourself in speaking your word, I am whole and perfect. Train yourself in knowing to yourself that you're whole and perfect and that everything is divine order. Train yourself to knowing this. And as you train yourself to knowing this, then you will experience this. But if somebody comes along and does it for you, if a Jesus comes along and heals you for you, if anybody comes along and takes care of the insufficiency you have in any area of life, then you will have many more insufficiencies in many more areas of life because you haven't learned how to be the master of yourself and be the king of your domain. Now, King Absolute, he's the king of his domain. He's in charge of his domain. He creates his domain to be all that he wants it to be. And he's always in charge. And he has little challenges that come up. And the minute they come up, he says, all's in divine order. He says, all's in divine order. The flies are buzzing around his face. He says, hi guys. All's in divine order. He didn't say go away. Because when he says all is in divine order is not having the flies buzzing around his face, you understand? Mm-hmm. Divine order is where he is living in this purity of consciousness without that. So you don't have to define what divine order is to achieve divine order. You just say all is in divine order. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. I like me. I'm divine order. I'm peace. I'm independently wealthy. I'm successful in all my endeavors. You see, you don't need to describe the details. We think we do. And perhaps in the beginning, defining the details might be helpful, but I say no. I say, if you learn the truth from the get-go, if you learn the truth from the very outset, with no variation to it, then you will not go away from it. If you learn ways of doing it that help you to understand it and that give you a feeling of confidence, and so one day you will have that ability to do it, well, great. You might die before it comes, you know. Now is the acceptable time to live in the principle of perfection and wholeness, to live in the principle of your ideal self right now, never waiting, but living right now in that perfection. And as you live right now in that perfection, then that perfection is yours. Remember that, because you don't need to be told a dozen times. Being told once will do it. We're constantly being addressed in our life by ideas that confront us and say, this is a tough situation. It's a tough deal. King Absolute, in training his kings, was training them to be master of all of these conflicts, of all of these difficulties that might come up in their life. And as he trained them with these difficulties that might come up in their life, he trained them from the point of view that, number one, the difficulties didn't exist. They were only mental in the first place. Now, this is hard for us to be aware of, because it looks very obvious. And number two, if the difficulties don't exist, who created them but us? And we created them because we're still thinking that difficulties can exist in our life. Well, difficulties cannot exist in our life unless we create them, unless we empower them to be there. And we don't need to empower any difficulty to be in our life, because we are not superior to the difficulty, but the difficulty is a creation of our imagination. It's a creation of our own inner thinking. It's a creation of our own limited idea about ourselves. Now, King Absolute knew all these things, and he had been through this, but he could not teach that. He could not train that, because if he trained that the illusions are the creation of our imagination, then he would have to say the illusions are the creation of our imagination. And he doesn't use the word illusion. He doesn't use the word limitation. He doesn't use the word of anything other than the allness and the isness and the whatever like that. Now, you see, so when we arrive at that state of our development in our spiritual awareness, we find our vocabulary very limited, because it has always been the human vocabulary. But then what we do is we wake up to a vocabulary far greater than the human vocabulary. We wake up to the vocabulary of the Absolute. Now, I cannot give you the Absolute vocabulary right now because we're not ready to hear it. And when we're ready to hear the Absolute vocabulary, I won't have to give it to you because you'll have it all. But I am using the vocabulary of the human limitation right now because that's what we're working on as we're moving into the awareness of our Absolute awareness. Okay, now, if speaking words of limitation, if speaking words of illusion, speaking words of things that are not so, you know, if speaking words like that are limiting to us, then you'd think we would not speak those words. Well, it brings us now to this very difficult step. And the difficult step is, if I say it is a beautiful day outside and it's raining cats and dogs, and I choose to have a beautiful day outside, am I going to change the day from rain and change the day to a beautiful sunny sky, to change the day to a gentle wind or a strong wind? Am I going to change the day to what? What am I going to change the day to? All right, let's just say it is a very windy day, and I'm living in the tropics. And in the tropics are a lot of coconut trees. And the coconut trees are just wonderful, and I'd like to get those coconuts down there so I could use them. But I don't really want a lot of them. I want them down there as I want them. I want them down maybe two or three a day so that I can enjoy them. So, every day, I create two or three dropping. But that's mundane. So, some days I create a little wind that goes whoosh through the trees and it drops two or three of them. And some days I get too enthusiastic and I create a wind that goes through whoosh and I drop 10 or 20 of them. And that's a lot more than I choose to use. And so I have to use my intelligence. Now, I don't use the weather, I don't use external activities to manipulate my choices. If I choose to have, which you might see is an external thing, if I choose to have three coconuts, I will have the three coconuts sitting on a table in front of me, opened, ready for me to enjoy, with a special container there holding the coconut juice, the coconut milk, and everything's in divine order. And if I choose to have the coconut as a paste to use, however, it is there. If I choose to have these things, it is there. Now, it doesn't depend on the wind to knock them down. It doesn't depend on some child to climb the tree and bring them down. It doesn't depend on some machete to open the coconut and reveal the beautiful coconut internals. It doesn't depend on anything. It only depends on my thought. Now, why do I want to live in the tropics? Well, I find it very salubrious, very comfortable. It's a very pleasant way to live. And why do I want to have coconuts? Well, that's what I have thought would be fun. Now, what if I'd like to have something different? Maybe a ham sandwich. And so here I am in the middle of the tropics where there's no pork, no ham, and no wheat fields to make bread, and a lot of other things. But I choose to have a ham sandwich. Now, I know what a ham sandwich is because I was visiting places where they had ham sandwiches. And so I think to myself, I would enjoy a ham sandwich right now. My mind demonstrates that ham sandwich right in front of me. Now, just take, for instance, our friend David Copperfield. And David Copperfield is a great magician. And he can make you think you see things that are not so. He can make you think that an elephant disappears or that a choo-choo train appears in front of you and then appears not in front of you. And you really believe it. In fact, I would imagine the entire audience believes it. And the more people that believe it, the more believable it is, because there is no objection. Everybody sees the great choo-choo train right there in the middle of that theater. And they think to themselves, how did he do that? Well, they did it each individually. They did it by creating it with their mind. Now, we think to ourselves, well, this is just ledger domain. It's just using quicker than the eye and so forth like that. The hand is quicker than the eye. But that's not it. That's not it. What it is whatever we are programmed to think, we will think. Now, we can think anything we want. Now, the king absolute, could say to his kings, okay, this is what I want you to think. He wouldn't say that. He would just present people before their awareness whatever it was he wanted. He would present, say for instance, a beautiful white elephant with beautiful white tusks, standing there with a beautiful basket on the top of it, waiting for the kings to take a ride. Or maybe as many kings as he'd have that many white elephants. And they'd all be equally as beautiful. Now, the kings would look on with astonishment, and they'd say, how do we get up there? Well, they say the elephant can kneel down, but no, snap your finger, you're on, okay? I mean, the elephant's got there. You can certainly snap your finger and be on it. Herb, this is ludicrous. You're talking nonsense. You're just talking things that don't make sense. That's right. That's right. But this is where everything comes from. It comes from the mind. It comes from our thought. So now, you're riding on those elephants. Then, David Copperfield is standing there, or King Absolute, whatever name you want to give him, and he says, all right, elephants, turn into pythons. You know what a python is?
Yeah.
That's quite a snake. Now, they're sitting on a python. And at first the kings say, oh, what is this? You know, snakes seem to frighten most people. And then King Absolute says, peace. And then the snake each hisses, peace, you know, hiss, peace, you know. And so then the kings are all at peace. And they say, hey, this is neat. This is cool. And they have many other experiences. Now, this is the David Copperfield effect of the illusions that are there before us. Now, could each one of those kings do the same thing? Sure. Do they each do the same thing? Yes. Does the king say, all right, I'm having an audience, and I would like the people of my kingdom from this area or that area to be present for the audience? And the people are there. Now, how did the king create them there? Oh, it was his command. Yes, it was his command, but he can't command people to do things they don't want to do. People must have wanted to do what he commanded them to do. And so they appeared there. Now, then King Absolute comes along, and he says to the king who has an audience with his kingdom, he says, King Peter, I want to talk to you. And Peter says, I'm having an audience with my people. And King Absolute says, what people? There are no people there. What audience? There's no audience. What are you talking about? But I was. Yes, it was very real. And King Absolute says, you were? Oh, excuse me. He snaps his finger, and the people are back there again. Now, what I'm trying to do is, in your thinking now, you think to yourself, what a bunch of idiocy, what a bunch of silliness, what a bunch of craziness. But if you can begin to think in these unusual things that are unusual to our limited mind, that thoughts are things, and whatever thought you think, that's the thought you demonstrate in your mind. Now, can you believe that? Can you see that true for yourself? Can you understand that that is the case? Can you understand that? And if you can understand it, then it's great. However, if you can't understand it, then what happens? If you can't understand it, then it is not an experience you have. Now, I went to my computer here, and I put from my recorder onto the file, and then it didn't work right. So then I went onto the computer itself, where I had moved it already onto one of my desktop files, and I took it from there and I put it on. Now when I went to check it after half an hour, it was done and it was a different number. Well, it was a different number because I had taken it from the file from the desktop and not from the file from my recorder. So obviously it's two different sets of numbers, but I had forgotten for a moment. Now I remember. And so now I know it's done properly because it finished and it was done. Now, why is it that the thought was I wanted it done? And then I knew how to do it. And then when I went back there, my old thought flipped into motion and said I was taking it off of the record player, the recorder, and not off of the disc itself on the computer. You see, our mind, we go, we forget where we are. Now, Christy, where are you today? You're here on campus. You're here in Campo, California. You're here in this wonderful place. You're here with the sun shining, just like it is in London. You're here with everything going in beautiful ways. Now, if I said to you, Christy, where are you? And you said to me, why, I'm with King Absolute. I am a king in King Absolute's world, and I have my kingdom, and you go on to explain it to me. And I say, no, you're not. You are not. You are here in this God Unlimited University of Healing here. You're in the Absolute Monastery. You're doing, you say, well, also, but primarily, I'm with King Absolute. And I'm in my kingdom. And I have my people around me. And I'm doing this. But you're not. You're physically here. Yes, but I'm physically there too. I am physically everywhere. Now, you see, if in this illustration you're strong enough to be untouched by the fact that you're in the monastery, and you're strong enough to realize that you really are with King Absolute talking about your kingdom, being in your kingdom. You see, those are thoughts, just plain, ordinary, simple, wonderful, beautiful thoughts. But are you powerful enough in your thinking to realize that that's who you are, that those thoughts really are things? Those thoughts really are things that you're manifesting in your world. You see, King Absolute shares with his creation in many ways. He likes being a sharer. He likes being someone who creates and does beautiful things, works with people. Well, that's great. Now, who are you? Are you?
I am God.
You're God. Yes. Are you King?
I am King. I'm Queen Absolute.
King
I'm Absolute.
King Christie or King Absolute?
I am Absolute because no gender.
Oh, I see. You're just plain old everyday Absolute with all that it contains.
Yes.
Okay. Well, now, you know what you're doing by doing that, don't you?
Yes.
You are not erasing all of the other stuff, but the other stuff is not in your attention. The only thing in your attention is that you are Absolute.
I'm in control of everything.
You're not in control of anything. You are everything. And you see, this is a word that gets us in trouble, control, manipulation, and stuff like that. We want to recognize that we are the isness, we are the allness, we are not in control of anything, we are everything. And if you are a beautiful being, Miss Christie, if you are a beautiful being, then everything that you are is beautiful. Then your creation is beautiful. Then your creation is fulfilled, complete, wonderful. You're not even King Absolute. enjoying playing games. You're King Christie, King Absolute. You're Absolute Christie, which is the recognition of your allness. You see, in the recognition of your allness, you do not know your uniqueness. Okay? And in your recognition of your uniqueness, like King Absolute, then you do not know your allness. So long as King Absolute is playing the game of King Absolute, he is king of his absolute world. When King Absolute plays the game of King Allness, you know, the allness, then he is not in any way playing the game of King Absolute. Interesting? Now, you thought King Absolute was pretty nice, you know. Well, he is, but allness is even better. How do we slip into the allness principle? How do we slip into the awareness of the allness, aside from the King Absolute, aside from the game that we've been playing here? How do we move over into that area?
Because we are now into the Absolute, the real Absolute, no gender.
You see, you picked up a lot more there than we said was there, but you're right. Without gender, the real absolute is nothing. The real absolute does not say it is a place to be. It is the allness. The real absolute is the allness. Now, you see, if earlier in our talking you had said, I am absolute, I am the allness, I am that I am, then there'd be nothing to talk about. You follow?
Yes.
Because when you're the allness, there's nothing more to talk about. There's nothing more to refer to. And you see, people feel that because there's nothing more to talk about or refer to, or there's no language to express it, that it must be very boring. Far from boring. It is so exciting and so fulfilling and so rewarding that the more we are allowing ourselves to enter into that, the better. But now, we have played our game with King Absolute, and we have enjoyed the kingdom, we've enjoyed the palace, we've enjoyed the paradise, the divinity, our body is the temple, and how we treat it. Those are all good things. But when we are allness, when we are isness, then we don't think of those things. Why is it that we wouldn't think of our body when we are the all? Why do you think it would be we wouldn't think of our body as we are the all?
Because you are all and perfect, you are everything.
No, but why would we think we are not our body when we are the all? It has nothing to do with whether it's whole and perfect or whether it's this or that, but this is the body and this is the all.
We are all one.
No. The allness has not the capacity to conceive of a uniqueness. The unique has not the capacity to conceive of the allness. It doesn't make it better, worse, good, bad. It only makes the allness has in its
no level
makeup, so to speak, the ability only to know itself. The unique has only the ability to know itself. I am that I am. Now the unique knows allness exists, but it has no idea, and it can't even begin to relate what allness is. Understand? Yeah. So, would it be wise, or beneficial, expedient, or fun, to live in allness, or would it be more fun to live in the relative, in the uniqueness.
Allness.
Why allness?
You don't want to attach anything into it. You don't want limitation.
Yeah, go ahead. It's tough. But the thing is, uniqueness is but an aspect of allness. Allness is every aspect. And uniqueness can only maintain you in the unique level, and in maintaining you in the unique level, it does not contain you in the allness level, because it has not the capacity to perceive that. And that's a very dynamic attitude, it's a dynamic condition to think about and live in, you know. Now, people in this realm, people in your world, in my world, in this world that we're living in, live in the relative world and love it. A very few people living in this world, everyone gets a glimpse. Everyone knows who their divine self is. There's not that they are blind to it. Everybody knows, but everyone doesn't choose to follow it because it's not what they're used to doing. Now, when you follow your divine path, every opportunity that can happens to you to make you stumble on following that path. It's much easier to walk the human path and be appreciated for making a mistake. Oh, that's all right, you're okay, you're good. But in the divine, you cannot make mistakes, because as you make a mistake, you feel not only bad, you feel very bad. So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do as a person now? What direction do you want to go in your life? What avenues do you want to travel? Do you want to continue on the relative level, or you want to go into the absolute level? Well, I want to go to absolute, I want to go to absolute. Okay, you want to go to the absolute level. Now, can you erase from your desire to be compassionate? Can you erase Ibube from your mind and your heart as a possession?
Yes.
Now you see, Ibube is a, let's just say, he's a little puppet here. He's a little puppet. And then over here, there's a dozen more puppets. And so, you have been playing with Ibube. And he's been a lot of fun. And then I take Ibube away. I said, here, give me Ibube. And you know I'm a nice guy, I won't hurt him, you know. So I take Ibube and take him away and put him in the other room, throw him in the bed, you know. And I come back and I say, okay, now what are we going to do? You say, well, I want a puppet. I say, why do you want a puppet? You say, well, I want a puppet because I want something to manipulate. I want something to play with. I want something to be with. And I say, well, okay. So you want something to be with. Now, what, and he sure likes to be with you, doesn't he? What do you want to be with? Which puppet do you want? Well, I'll take the teddy bear. Now, why do you want the teddy bear? Because the teddy bear is cuddly and snuggly and fun to be with. Okay, so you take the teddy bear. And then I take that away from you. And then you choose another one. And pretty soon there are no more puppets there. And you say, hey, there's no more puppets here. I'd like to have a puppet. And I say, well, there are no more puppets. And you say, well, I want a puppet. And I say, there are no more puppets. So what do? You go create yourself a Rex, who comes climbing up on your chair there and puts his head in your lap and just thinks you're just the most wonderful lady in the world. Wants to just kiss you and love you and and get your attention. And you see, what's he doing? What's he doing? He's getting your attention, isn't he? And you took the napkin out from under his mouth, and then you decide it's better to put the napkin under his mouth. Well, now, what's he doing? He's getting your attention. You created him coming here to get your attention. Before, you had Ibube, and you had Jioma, and you had Ugo, you had all these other puppets. They were in your life. And then they each go away and do their thing. Now, why do you create them there? I thought you told me you wanted to walk your spiritual path, you wanted to be with nothing on your mind except your divine path and who you are, if that's what you wanted. Now, can you do that so long as you play the human game? No. Now, you say, Herb, how does this fit in with the King Absolute? How does this fit in with King Absolute? And I say, well, think about it. King Absolute was training his world how it could be master of itself. Not the outer thing, but itself. And being master of itself, everything in its world was under its control. But first it had to be master of itself. Now, you, when you have been training yourself, or do train yourself, to be master of yourself, master of your body, master of your emotions, master of your affairs and your thought and whatever, you know, when you're master of all that stuff, then you're not master of yourself yet, but you're master of all those things, then those things no longer can be master of you. And you, on the physical level, have made those things master of you. If I take a blowtorch, you know what a blowtorch is? A flaming torch, and I come toward you and toward you and toward you and toward you, and you back up and back up, and you say, Herb, stop that, what are you doing? And I come forward, Herb, don't do that, you're burning me. Herb, that's hot, don't do that. Well, you see, you're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot. Idiot, idiot, idiot. Herb, that's not nice to say that. You're an idiot. Because if you were not an idiot, you would just say, that is cool at Moss. Or you would say, Herb has just finished his illustration with me, and now he's done. Or you'd say, I see a cool breeze blowing by. Yeah, a jillion possibilities, you understand? But you, oh, don't hurt, that's hot, stop, take that blowtorch away, don't shine that on me, you'll burn my body, you'll burn my body, you'll burn my temple, you'll burn my temple, you'll burn me, don't, you see what I'm saying? And instead of being the master of your world and of yourself, you let the outer experiences manipulate you, control you, and frighten you, and take control. You know, how stupid can you get? When you know thoughts are things, and you know you can put the thought in motion and say all is in divine order, or just say that the blowtorch runs out of fuel, you know, or that the blowtorch got stuck and it wouldn't work anymore, or that the blowtorch whatever. You see, you can. The possibilities are legion, and what you could do if you wish to, or you just say, well, I see Herb coming at me with a dish of ice cream, and he thinks I'm going to like that, and he's so right. Or I see Herb taking his blowtorch and backfiring along the edge of the property there so that the wind won't blow the fire over the property and burn. I see Herb working on his bicycle, he's loosening up a joint, or whatever, you know. And the utilization of it in its perfect way and useful way, but not that it frightens you, not that it takes anything from you, not that it will hurt you in any way, see? Yeah. But when our first thought is fright, because we don't have control, then we're nothing. When our first thought is a thought that we do not, we're going to be hurt in some way, or that bothered in some way, then we've given up control. We've given up mastership. Now, it's not mastership over that. It's mastership over ourselves. Not mastership over that, only mastership over ourselves. A lady called the other day. She wanted me to come down to the city, and that is, she wanted to come up here to the mountain, and she wanted to tell me her problems and tell me her worries. And I said, oh, by the way, I'll be down in your neighborhood, tomorrow at noon, and if you like, you can come join me for lunch, you know. And she says, well, I'm on a diet right now. I said, well, then join me after lunch, you know. But just come down, I'll see you about 12:30 at Coco's, you know. And so she comes down, and I see her at 12:30 at Coco's, and she says, I got this problem. I said, great, this is a solution. And she says, great, and she goes her way. Now, you thought, my goodness, I'm sure he's going to drag that story out. No. Why?
You're giving it power.
I have not given it power. What did I give power to?
If you actually, you're giving it power to yourself.
To myself. And I chose to meet with her where I chose to meet with her. I didn't not have my lunch just because she's fasting, you know. I did not do things just because she's doing things, you know. Now, what about you? What about you? Where do you put your thought? Are you totally in charge? Are you the total person who determines what you're going to do? Are you the one who is not the master, but who decides what you're going to think? That's being a master too, but it's a master is master of something. But what are you going to think? What are you going to think? So somebody calls you up and says, oh, Christy, the operation, the hospital is falling down and this and that. They built, used poor materials and so forth, and the operating room fell off of the fifth floor and this and that and the other thing. And you say, oh, that's nice. I say, that's nice. What do you mean it's nice? Well, I'm glad we found out before anyone was injured. I'm glad we found out that materials were faulty and that the building had to be re-examined before we used it. I'm glad we found out before we were sitting up there on the fifth floor and come tumbling down here. Well, yeah, but, no. This is wonderful. It's a blessing, you know. So, you go into the office and your supervisors are there and they're all saying, oh, isn't this terrible? And you say to the supervisors, you are the most amazing men I have ever seen in my life. Well, Christy, what do you say about that, you know? Well, here you are in charge of this building when it's done. And so you give it the acid test and you check it out and you find the building is not adequate. You find the building has flaws and you don't want to take people in there. Well, we didn't know. Yeah, you did too. And you knew all about it, and you decided to check the building in the proper way, and you found that it was inadequate, and so you're going to have them replace it. Yeah, where do we get the power? You get the power by the law. Now, the law not only gives you money to rebuild the building totally, but gives you false money. What do you call it? Extra money. It gives you, it's going to cost you $2 billion to rebuild the building, and then you're going to get $1 billion in fault, you know, for damages, okay? And because you needed the building, you wanted to get going and so forth. So now, you not only have the new building going up, but you have the new building completely furnished with every modern facility you want. You are geniuses, you say to your superiors, and they say, Christy, you sure have the right attitude of mind. Christy, you certainly are a genius. Christy, you know how to look at things. Christy, you are fantastic. Christy, you're wonderful. Christy, you're wonderful. Christy, you're wonderful. Christy, you're wonderful. Could they say that? Oh, you betcha. Now, what did you do? All you did was to say, I am peace. And you look at the circumstance and said, how can we make a silk purse out of this sow's ear, you know? Mm-hmm. And you did it. You did it by your peaceful, calm, mental attitude of looking at the good in everything, like Pollyanna. You've seen the movie Pollyanna, haven't you? Yeah. Well, you see, now, she was always looking for the good in everything. She didn't know that, but that's the way she was trained. That's the way she was trained, and she was a good student in that area. Now, you always look for the good in every circumstance, and you see it done perfectly. And so, Christy, they can't do a lot for you because they can only pay you in keeping with your normal salary or whatever your top salary is. But they can give you right in the middle of the front entrance of the hospital, right between where the patients come in, the front entrance is a special slot. It's called Christie's slot, where you park your car. And you park your chauffeured car, which drives you to and from work every day and takes you around personal errands and is paid for by the hospital, provided by the hospital. Now, you say, Herb, you sure do build up some interesting stories. Well, I'm not done yet. Okay. So, because you are so brilliant, because you are such a healing agent in that hospital, and that you are divine wisdom, that you go in and are working with every doctor who's making, who has his most obscure, difficult operation that he has to work on, you know, most difficult operation, and you always are there, and not working, observing, and when the doctor calls for the scalpel, you reach over and you hand the nurse the scalpel that's perfect, not just any scalpel. Scalpels come in maybe about 100 different sizes and ways. And you choose the perfect one and give it to the nurse, and the nurse gives it to him. And he doesn't know that. But he says, God, that nurse is brilliant. She knew exactly what I wanted. She knew exactly what I wanted. And then you might even touch the nurse and infuse her with your genius so she would know exactly what. But you're there. Now, you're there not to see that he does it right. You're there to see that the person involved is whole and perfect right now and forevermore. That regardless if the doctor is just cutting off an ingrown toenail, that is the operation that makes that person's life immortal, eternal. You see? Now, this is who you are. This is who you are when you are absolute. This is who you are when you are genderless. This is who you are when you are working on these things. Now, we're not interested in having the hospital fall down. We're not interested in anything of that nature. But we are interested in the possibility that wherever you go, whatever problems there may be, you make out of those problems a beautiful silk purse. And you can do that. Does that make any sense to you?
It does.
Mm-hmm. But you see, it's all whatever your mental attitude is. If you are a worrywart, then you create the attitude of worry. If you are self-confident, then you create the attitude of self-confidence. And you create the attitude of cooperation and sincerity and all the good things like that. It's so perfect. So absolutely perfect. Yes, Miss Christie, you're fantastic. Any other thought that comes to your mind? I think we're doing pretty good. So, you have whatever it is you want. You have your life in whatever dimension you want. You have the absolute quality of being divine right now. You have the awareness of you as a master, if you wish. You have the awareness of yourself as a revealed, spiritually illumined being. That's nice. And as such, everything you touch, alright, let's play that game. King Midas, you know, he loved gold so much that he had everything he touched turned to gold. Well, he touched his daughters and they turned to gold too, and that made him unhappy. But you love your position in this world as not a healer, but as healing. Your position in this world is healing, not a healer. So wherever you go, you work with every person and they are healed. Because you're not a healer, you are healed. So, you see every being, regardless of circumstances, as being whole and perfect. You see every being as fulfilled in every way. whole and perfect, abundance, relationships, health, mental acuity, physical body in every way. You see every person absolutely done right now, absolutely cooked in a beautiful way, because that's how you are. Understand?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, as you go to your hospital and you walk in, every person who walks into your door is there to tell you how wonderful you are. As you walk through the wards and you talk with your nurses and other people involved, every nurse looks at you and says, "Oh, Nurse Christie, you know the answer. Thank you very much. Nurse Christie, I feel such confidence when you're near. Nurse Christie, when you're in the room, we always have our finest operations." And what do you say to them? You have fine operations regardless of where I am. You have fine operations because you are a fine surgeon. You are a fine nurse. You are a fine patient. See? Can you conceive of that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it takes a very definite and a very sincere attitude. Very definite. And really wonderful. Yeah, I am. So, that's terrific. That gives us something to think about, doesn't it?
Really, it is.
So tomorrow we'll go into it from a different direction and take in any circumstances that you want, if you have anything special. But otherwise, we'll just go into it from a specific new direction. Good idea?
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Okay. That's good. Well, we have an hour and 7 minutes. That's pretty good.